is causing friction. This is the podcast where we get a little uncomfortable, a little awkward on our journey of healing through mindfulness and becoming self-aware.
Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. First, I'm going to start off by saying, if you notice the audio is different, that is because I am recording in Colombia, and I am so excited that Sarah has joined me online. Sarah Steckler is joining us to talk everything productivity in a mindful capacity. Sarah also runs the Mindful Productivity blog, and she also has her own podcast. But Sarah, I'm going to let you take it away.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. My name is Sarah Steckler. I'm a productivity strategist, and I talk all about mindful productivity. So as you mentioned, I have the blog. I also have the Mindful Productivity podcast. But really, my intention with the work I do is really helping people understand that infusing mindful productivity into your days really means that you're bringing a sense of awareness to your energy capacity, not only physically, but also mentally. And that really allows you to get things done more sustainably, because we're not machines, we're humans. So a lot of the work that I do surrounds that. And a lot of the journals and planners that I've created also help you kind of facilitate that in your own life.
Amazing. So I definitely appreciate that you said the word sustainable, because I find that we struggle a lot with New Year's resolutions. We want to be on the bandwagon. We try so hard to stick to our goals and how we're going to be achieving them and how we can be productive. But a lot of our plans are not sustainable. We have too much on our plate. We take on too much at once. And so what I really want to ask you is, what is a common reason that we, so to speak, fall off this bandwagon? And why is it around that 2-3 month mark of the year, our goals kind of start to diminish and go away, and our actions no longer align with those goals?
Oh, this is such a good question. I think, you know, it can happen for a variety of reasons. I think one thing is sometimes it can be as simple as we've created goals or we're working towards things that maybe we think would be externally validating, or we think we should do, but they're not really things that would bring us, you know, full joy or really that we really even self-identify with. So like, that's kind of the first thing. And I've definitely noticed that before, where there've been moments where I've, you know, intentionally quit goals because I'm like, this isn't actually something that I want to work toward. But if it's not that, I think sometimes we can overestimate what we're capable of energy-wise or what we have available to us with our schedule. And so sometimes it can be really easy and fun to plan, right? Like, I love planning, goal setting, all that, but sometimes we can add too much to our plate. And the other thing too, I think, is that we don't always get granular enough. So sometimes it can be fun to kind of plan out your goals and make a list, but what really can move the needle is also asking yourself bigger questions, like what things might come up that might be a challenge, or even asking yourself, like, where will I be in 2 months from now? And what are the struggles that might come up? Or what are the daily habits or lifestyle changes that I might need to make that might be a little difficult or a little bit more straining? So when you can take time to think about those things ahead of time, then you'll be more prepared. Because I think we all have this really lovely, optimistic viewpoint about things, which is wonderful, but really taking time to be like, what might I need? And what really is realistic, right? I love reaching for the stars with things that I do in my life, but it's also realizing, you know, that things aren't necessarily an overnight achievement. So really like figuring out maybe if the pace of your goals needs to change.
It also sounds a little bit like potentially a risk assessment as well of what could potentially happen with these goals, external factors, internal factors, maybe mentally as well, some roadblocks that you could bestow upon yourself along that goal setting journey. And it also sounds like potentially understanding the energy you need to give to each goal and if you are ready and have the capacity to do so. Because I definitely agree, like, reach for the stars, 100%. I set some goals that I'm just like, there's no way I might achieve this, but I am so gonna try. But then sometimes my energy just doesn't align with them and it doesn't end up happening, usually for a good reason, but it's still so hard sometimes to not feel discouraged when we are not energetically aligned. And so what I want to ask you surrounding that entire concept is, how do we set ourselves up for success with mindful productivity and successfully achieving some of those really big, exciting goals, or even just the small daily ones as well.
Yeah. Well, one thing I love to do in my life and my business is set focus projects. And that's really one of the core parts of mindful productivity is really figuring out what's your next focus, you know, what's your next sprint, if you will, for, you know, anywhere from a couple of weeks to 30, 60 days or more. And really asking yourself, what's that core thing that I'm going to focus on and that's going to kind of get most of my energy, or that's going to remain the top priority? Because I think one thing too with goals is, especially if you have, you know, competing ones, it can be easy to set one aside for the other. So it's really asking yourself, what's the main thing I need to focus on? And then from there, it's asking yourself some of those questions I mentioned before, you know, what are maybe some possible challenges, but also asking yourself questions like, what are the resources that I have available to me? Are there other people that have already achieved this goal that I could reach out to? Are there people that, you know, are there other resources, podcasts, you know, paid or free content, that books that I could look into or read that would help me, you know, not only do the thing, but also, you know, embrace the mindset if needed or change my perspective. So it's all those things. And then from there, it's really breaking down everything into target tasks. So really getting granular, which is not always the funnest thing, but really getting into the weeds of, okay, if I want to accomplish this thing, what does that take? What are all the steps? And then also giving yourself both DO dates and due dates, like when they're actually due. So when are you going to actually do the thing? And then when do you want to accomplish it by? And that can make a huge difference. And that also helps too, because when you have those days where you're just like tired, or you can't even think about what to possibly do, you've already got a plan for yourself. And then you can kind of be flexible around that too. So that doesn't mean you have to do these tasks every single, you know, exact date that you've planned, but then you have a general idea of what you need to keep doing.
I think the biggest thing with self-awareness and mindfulness is getting granular and so incredibly specific in every single area that you can. We as humans, I feel like, are always willing to just give a broad umbrella statement to anything. It's kind of like the common phrase, how are you? Automatically we say good, fine, okay. And really becoming self-aware is all about digging deep and getting to those details. And that is just as important when you want to be productive. It's really understanding the details, because if you just give an umbrella or blanket statement, it's like, okay, I need to do X, but how? And how is it going to affect you? And how are you going to get there? And what are the 10,000 maybe steps you need to reach that one big goal? So I also heard a buzzword from what you just said, competing goals. What is that? What does that also look like for us?
Yeah. Well, I think sometimes we have different goals that we want to accomplish. Like, let's say you're training for a 5K or something, but you're also launching something really big in your business. And so, you know, depending on your energy level, there may be one that you'd rather do than the other, or maybe you're supposed to get so many steps in, you know, today, or go for, you know, a run or something, but you also have a looming deadline that has to get done, right? So you have to often ask yourself, well, what gets my immediate energy capacity? And that can sometimes be a risk, because as we all know, mentally, if you exhaust yourself, sometimes that means physically it can be harder to go on a run or do whatever you want to do. So there are times when you really have to make this call of what's the most important thing, and how might that affect my energy, but also then being able to be flexible. So let's say you go on the run, but you still have this thing that's going to be due the next day and it's a lot of work. Maybe you go on the run and then you go to bed way earlier so that you can get up early the next morning. So you're still, you know, making sure that you're managing your health and not overextending yourself. Because I think sometimes when we have competing goals for our time and energy, sometimes we think, well, I'll just stay up later, or I'll just work harder, or I'll just put in more and more effort, which, as we all know, can lead to burnout.
I feel like burnout was a very, very important topic for 2021. I noticed a lot of people, especially with having to be online and be virtual, they experienced burnout a lot quicker because it never felt like there was an off button. It always felt like you were digitally attached and available 24/7. So I definitely appreciate that you're mentioning how important it is for rest as well, for your energy levels and your mental health. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the correlation between setting goals, achieving goals, maybe not achieving the goals, and how that affects your energy and your mental health.
Yeah. Well, I think too, when you're planning out, you know, a focus project or a goal or anything moving forward, I like to sit down and actually assess how much energy and what kind of energy different tasks will take. So for example, one thing I know is when I'm recording a podcast, for example, I love it, but I only have so much of that ability, right? To like be on and be charismatic and stuff. So I couldn't batch record like 8 episodes in one day. I just wouldn't be able to do it. The 8th one would probably not be so great. So it's really getting an idea of, you know, and trial and error, like what are your energy drivers? What are your energy drainers? Like what are the tasks that really light you up and produce more energy or creativity for you? And what are the things that are really draining? And, you know, and then you can kind of schedule your days around that so that you can better manage your energy. Because one thing, you know, I always think about when I'm tired is, oh, I only have so much energy, but I forget that energy is, you know, a cycle, right? So where you're losing energy, you can also recreate energy, right? Through rest, through, you know, moving your body, through mindfulness practices. So just like, you know, you can run out of energy, you can also do things to produce more energy and really kind of understand what your capacity is on a given day and understand that that may actually mean working less for you than you think.
100%. We only have so much time in a day. We only have so much energy in a day. And every single day, our energy levels and our mental health changes. And we need to take that into account and not be so hard on ourselves when maybe, okay, today I'm feeling a really low frequency and I just can't do that batch recording of 5 episodes like I had planned. Like you said previously, what is the due and what is the actual due date? It kind of comes all back full circle at this moment. And I really, really appreciate that. I also noticed that a lot of us, we're overachievers, especially people who listen to this podcast. I know that you all are such overachievers and people pleasers, and we just so badly want to take on absolutely everything in the world. But what amount of productivity is actually sustainable? I understand that the brain can really only take on so much. I know that there's certain journals and planners that use a certain number of tasks per day because that's kind of our capacity.
Yeah, this is a great question. And I mean, I think it's going to vary. There's been different studies and we can maybe link to them or something in the show notes, but I can find them and bring them up. But I think what I've mainly heard is that in terms of deep focused thinking, like you're really focused, you're not distracted, most people can usually only do about 4 or 5 hours of that a day. And I know for me, especially with the pandemic, I feel like that's a lot less lately. Like I definitely have noticed the past couple of years that my ability to focus and my mental energy is just, it's a lot less. So I really had to, you know, switch my schedule and switch my thinking around what does a productive day look like? And I think that's also part of mindful productivity, right? Is really allowing, like holding space for various energy levels, you know, different chapters of your life. There's going to be times when maybe like you're a machine and you're going after it. And then other times when work's a little bit slower, but so that's kind of like one of the first things about it. So definitely that 4 to 5 hours, I think, is kind of max. But I also love personally to use Pomodoros. So I don't know if that's something that you do. Yeah. So doing that really helps you kind of manage your time. And I like to break up, you know, my day into like kind of 2 main areas that I may be focusing on. And then within those, and I actually have this structured out in my brain dump book, within those 2 main things you're focusing on, you can break them down into like 4 or 5 Pomodoros. So what are those things that you want to do that are going to help you achieve that main focus? And I really find that we don't have to work as long as we think, because a lot of times, and I know they've done studies on this with studying too, like in college or whatever, where people will spend 4 or 5 hours like at a time, like just racking their brain, trying to remember information, where they actually find that the first, I think it's like 20 to 30 minutes, you are really like in your prime. And then after that, there's like a steep decline. So it's almost like you should study in increments similar to Pomodoros and then go take a walk or go hang out with your friends and then come back. So working for 4 to 5 hours straight, studying for 4 to 5 hours straight, unless you're really in the zone, isn't necessarily going to be the best kind of bang for your buck, if you will, in terms of getting stuff done. So I really thought that that was really interesting.
It is. And I started applying that Pomodoro technique a couple of years ago, and it really helped me with mental clarity, I noticed more than anything, it really helped me compartmentalize my tasks, the details, understand what I need to do. And I've really noticed that mental clarity has become something that people are craving. I've noticed it with a lot of my friends. I've noticed it with a lot of other like social media people that I follow. Like more than anything, people want mental clarity and peace for 2022. And what I noticed with your work and all of the content that you produce, one way to achieve this is by doing brain dumps. It's never something I've really been, you know, curious about until coming across all of your content, realizing the value that it can hold for that mental clarity and kind of furthering that productivity. So let's talk about it. Why brain dumps? Why is it going to assist with clarity? And is it mostly from your point of view because it prepares you for the week and it does get to sort those thoughts out? It puts things into perspective. What is it exactly?
Yeah, these are great, great questions. And I love just the phrase mental clarity. I totally agree. That needs to be like my phrase for the year. I think, well, first of all, brain dumps are great at decluttering your mind. So a lot of times we think that we know what we want to do in a given day, and that can be true, but we can have like a lot of like, you know, plaque, if you will, or, you know, noise in the background in our subconscious mind that can impact our energy level. You know, it's kind of like if you were trying to read a book, but someone had the radio blasting in the other room, it might be a little difficult. And sometimes our brains can be the same way. So doing a brain dump, and it doesn't have to take long, usually about 10 to 15 minutes, if that, to just write out all of your thoughts on paper. And this is also really nice too, because I think in a lot of ways we think we're venting or getting things off our chest by sharing on social media or talking to our friends, but there's still a filter there, right? You're still filtering yourself. So a brain dump really allows you to just get anything on paper. And there's something about tangibly writing things out that really kind of feel like you're actually removing something physically from your brain, which I really enjoy. So doing a quick brain dump, I mean, anything from things that you want to do, things that are annoying, you know, maybe you want to have lasagna for dinner, whatever it is, like write it down. And then the way I have the structure in my brain dump book is that you do a brain dump and then you've got a daily productivity page. So doing that brain dump kind of clears up your space. It's kind of like organizing your office and then being like, okay, where do I want to put things? What do I want front and center? So then from there, you're writing out, you know, your two main kind of mini focuses for the day, those Pomodoros, and what your time either is going to look like or how it kind of unfolds throughout the day. And I find that that has been a big game changer for me. I like to do a brain dump every day if I can. But regardless, it's really amazing what comes out. And I find myself too, sometimes going back through brain dumps and like circling really cool ideas I had for podcast episodes, or, you know, this could be used for something else, but it's also kind of a holding tank, right? Because you don't want to lose all your cool ideas. So you can have them there. And then in your brain know that like, oh, okay, I can let that go, put that to the side and actually get focused on my day.
One thing I'll say about this is I know that people find journaling, brain dumps, planning intimidating, because a lot of it, you're right, we post on social media, we think that we're getting things out there, we're getting things off our chest, but we're so used to having a filter and being reserved. And I feel like this also stops us from really going deep and understanding what we truly want. And in that case, then how can we make a plan if we don't actually know what we truly want and what our end goal is and what our game plan is? So how can we make all of this less intimidating? How can we make making a plan? How can we make brain dumps? How can we make this entire realm less intimidating in order to just be more productive, live a little bit more mindfully?
Yeah. I'd say if you're new to planning, and kind of like writing things out or journaling and you're overwhelmed, first of all, most people feel that way. A lot of people don't want to write in a planner because they're like, I don't want to mess up. But really, you know, I'd say grab a notebook and just give yourself full permission to make it messy. And the first thing I would do especially if you're new to brain dumps, is I love to do the quadrant method. So take a piece of paper, draw two lines, make four sections of your paper. And then, you know, for each section, you can do something like, you know, what am I happy about? What's bugging me? What are things that are on my plate that I, you know, I keep thinking about every day, like, oh, I need to do that. And what do I want to do, you know, moving forward? And you could come up with with any questions you want, right? And then just kind of start brain dumping, right? Because I think a lot of times people look at a blank piece of paper and they're like, I don't know, where do I start? So really giving yourself a little bit of, you know, like a template there. And I have a brain dump templates in the brain dump book too. And that's really what helps me, because staring at a blank page, sometimes I'm like, I don't know. But really starting there, and then, you know, not overcomplicating it. I think we want to all have like the perfect plan, or we want to know the perfect strategy, and, or like the perfect project management software. Like, just start with a notebook or even a Google Doc and just write out like, what are the things that you'd like to do today? And it doesn't even matter if the list is entirely too long. Give yourself, you know, permission to experiment and see what you can get done. And if you can, go back at the end of the day and, you know, see like what tasks like really took me like less than 5 minutes, which tasks were completely overwhelming and actually were more like a project than a task. And really just start to understand, you know, what you want to get done and how much energy it takes you, and kind of start from there. And I think that most people will find a ton of valuable insight from just starting from that place.
I definitely agree with that. And I like what you said about setting a timer and putting into perspective how long things actually take. Is it a task or is it a project? I think that is important. And that's something I'm definitely going to be applying more this year. I really started to time the tasks that I didn't enjoy. So whether that was doing dishes, whether that was me having to pop outside and run to the grocery store because I just didn't feel like that day, I really started timing these tasks I didn't find always enjoyable, just to put into perspective how long it actually takes. So it feels less intimidating. It feels like less scary the next time I need to tackle something like that. But I like what you said about understanding the duration. And okay, maybe something took a lot longer and that's a project. And so that's going to have multiple tasks underneath it that you need to sort and organize and plan and prioritize. So how can we kind of look at tasks, look at projects, define them, and really set ourselves up for understanding the difference?
Yeah. Well, and I love how you phrase that too, because it's very, very true. I've been guilty of this. We oftentimes will write down a task and realize it's actually more of like a dependency task, which means we need someone else to give us information for it first, or we need to do information first before we can actually take action and feel confident about it. So, you know, do a brain dump of everything you need to do. And then before you get started on main tasks, ask yourself, like, is this literally something that I could check off just by the description alone? Or does it require more for me? Does it require, you know, prep time? Does it require research? Does it require getting other materials or resources ahead of time? And then from there, you can kind of get a bigger idea, right? Like as those tasks expand, you can kind of get a bit bigger idea of how much time it might take you. But also it's okay that you don't always know ahead of time how much something's going to take, because like you said, you know, maybe you're, you know, new to meal prep or something, and you're going to the store and you're going to do the meal prep and you're like, I can totally do this in an afternoon, and find that it takes you way longer. That's okay, because now you know. And you kind of create almost like your own standard operating procedure when you do this, because then you can start marking down like, okay, a grocery trip normally takes me 45 minutes, right? Or whatever. And so you can get clearer on that. So I think really the first step is kind of taking action and then making note of basically what you think how long something will take and then how long it actually takes.
I think the biggest takeaway from all of this is taking action. It really is just being mindful in that exact moment and setting an intention that you are going to finally take action.
Yeah, 100%. I know. And I think too, we can get stuck in kind of this like planning procrastination stage where it's really safe and cozy to do a bunch of planning. Like, I love that. I love planning. I love sitting down with my planners and highlighters or jumping into Notion and doing all that. And then sometimes taking action can be the scary part or the overwhelming part. So one thing I notice is a project will typically be more overwhelming the less time you've spent getting granular. So like you said, the less specific you are, the harder it's going to be to start. So you can really kind of overcome that barrier by getting even more specific. Like, what is the first thing that I can do? Because there are definitely probably tasks that you can do that would even take you less than a minute. And once you can kind of start getting those things done, you feel that like success and momentum, and then it becomes easier, right? It's like that self-efficacy starts building and you're like, okay, I got this.
Yeah. I always say it's kind of like a self-confidence building exercise, because it really is that release of almost like dopamine from checking off a task and achieving goals, it is actually something that happens in your brain, and we can't deny it. I mean, I know that some people with ADHD, that is actually an area that they really, really struggle with. But for the most part, the, I'd say, average brain, which doesn't sound, you know, the most politically correct. However, the average brain, it does release dopamine when you're checking off those tasks, and it really does build a momentum, and it does build a reward system, and it builds up confidence that you can take on these tasks, and it makes it a lot less scary and enjoyable, which is also nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Sarah, do you have any last minute tips for 2022 of how we can be a little bit more mindful, how we can stay balanced and not burn out this year?
Yes. Oh, such a good question. I feel like I need to remind myself this all the time. I think the number one thing is make sure you're scheduling in breaks and rest. That is just as important as anything else you're doing. Make sure that, you know, you're putting your health and your wellness first when you can, because you're not going to be able to do anything, right? If you're not taking care of yourself. So there's that part. And then ask yourself kind of, you know, these bigger picture questions of, you know, how do I want to feel in my body in 6 months? Or where do I want to see, like, what do I want my days to look like? And I think sometimes we have these like big lofty goals, and what we don't really get clear on is what would that look like in a given day? Like, what would your ideal day look like around that? And so then you can kind of start to structure not only your goals, but, you know, the objectives and everything that leads up to those goals can also be facilitated by small daily action steps that you're taking. So maybe, you know, feeling better in your body or whatever means, you know, drinking more water and taking more steps every day and doing these small micro steps that you could track on a daily basis, that if you just stay consistent with them and over time, like over time, you'll get there, right? If you put one foot in front of the other, I know it sounds cliche, you will keep moving forward. And I think too, just the reminder that, you know, slow progress is still progress. Pausing is still progress. It doesn't mean you're going backwards. It just means you're taking a pause or a break. And so I think we've all kind of really learned that lesson in a lot of ways, that there's only so much energy that we can force out of ourselves before we really feel depleted. So I think those are kind of the main things I would think about.
I love that so much. Sarah, thank you for joining me today. I love talking about productivity. I love talking about how mental health is affected by productivity. So this is very enlightening for me. Where can everyone find you on social media?
Yeah, well, thank you, Danielle, for having me. It was so fun. Everyone can find me over on Instagram. I'm at Mindful Productivity Blog. I love to hang out there. It's my cozy space. And you can also check out the Mindful